Yeah, Neo's not happening the way I wanted. I wanted him to be a bit of a troublemaker.
Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for taking the week off last week unannounced, but this is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogoman. Let's get to it. Good evening, citizens and heroes of the Twin Cities, of Paragon, Millennium Cities. It's a little past 8 p.m. on the East Coast, the United States of America, on the planet Earth. And I'm bringing on my co-host right now because I'm a bit out of it. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Others just call him Mad Viking.
And tonight we are going hardcore. Because of the subject that we found out during the week.
Holy mackerel. And we are broadcasting live from a high orbit of 0.0167 feet above sea level. Oh, my goodness. You have to look really high for that one. You figure out the math. I forgot to say that.
Whoopsie.
Nobody ever gets... Yeah, that's right. I told you I'm out of it. I had a hell of a weekend.
Hey, I see. I it's like... Paragob Radio is live.
I know.
I'm
out of it. I figure if you ever see my Wabbit form, for Bunny Night,
yep.
I carry that bag of candy. I figure it's when I'm in that form, I'll have to look through the bag. What's a Paragob? Do I have one in there? I don't know. I just throw the candy out of people. It could be in there. Somebody says a Paragob stopper. That makes sense. I figured Bob would show up sometime. I don't know. Then we could talk about him for a while. I don't know.
I know once we get on this subject, we're going to be on it for the hour before we get to the tone.
yes, we will. But just my back on my left side has never hurt. For as long as my back has been hurting, it made up for it with a vengeance from Thursday night on. Actually, Friday night on. I'm talking no sleep this weekend. Until last night when we figured out the bed I'm on. Sometimes my mom, she's on dialysis, and sometimes she wants me to sleep in the living room on an air mattress. Well, it turned out the air mattress wasn't getting a full thing of air. The generator for it, when you pump it up and you turn it on, wasn't working at 100%. And then somehow there was a small tear in it, and it got worse. So Saturday night into early Sunday morning, I'm waking up every half hour, flat on the floor. This really wasn't helping anything.
No.
I'm like, on top of that, my SUV hasn't worked in over a year. We only have mom's van. My brother-in-law came over Saturday night to borrow mom's van. Hold on. It gets better. He drove up to a store a mile from our house. He says, once in a while, my mom says she smells it burning. Let me put it like this. She's on one side of the house. If somebody's outside by our driveway, she swears she could smell somebody smoking. I'm in the house right here by the driveway. Mm-hmm. I can't smell anybody smoking, but she could smell it. So every time we're driving, she goes, I swear I smell something burning. Well, he calls up. He goes, well, tell her she's right. The alternator just went.
Oh, boy.
So luckily, all in all, he knows a mechanic. Had him drive to the guy to tow to his house. He's five blocks from our house. The guy fixed it yesterday. Now I'm wondering, why doesn't he get that guy finally, after 5 months, that he's been promising to come here and fix my SUV?
All right. Well.
Yeah. Anyway, so... I went to Walmart, exchanged the bed. I fell asleep in the afternoon right after the Giants game. They won their second game of the season. I don't know if mixed feelings. Because after they went and won 5, I'm like, do I want them to tank the rest of the season and just get, like, first pick overall? Or can they possibly win that now? I'm of that frame. Like, all right, it was Washington. Man, it's one of those things like, no, get the first pick overall, you fools. Stop winning. Stop. You're 1-5 now. Stop it. Unless you're going to run the table, which I doubt, but stop it. That's when my physical therapist would laugh, like, they can't lose right. Now we want them to lose. They can't. Anyway, the big news we heard Wednesday, was it Wednesday night or Friday night?
Friday night.
That's right.
No, it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. It was Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. Go on.
All right, here we go. Let us start in the beginning. There were some fanboys of voice actress Tara Strong. For those who actually do not know, she is a voice actress. She's been in a few movies, but she's best known for her voices on cartoons and video games, such as the like of Bubbles of the Powerpuff Girls, Raven of Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go, Harley Quinn of the Arkham Asylum games, Princess Sparkle of the Power of My Little Pony, and I can hear Softy going like, "You did it wrong." Yeah, okay, that means.
I wouldn't expect you to do it right, but go.
Yeah. Dill Pickles, the baby of Rugrats. I can go on and on. And they were telling her that they have an idea for a cartoon. Well, Tara Strong likes to help people. So she helps with the Kickstarter for the cartoon in question, Box Town, is a raving success, especially when Tara Strong volunteers for the pilot to play the lead role. So she helps raise money for a company to be formed so they can make this pilot cartoon. And everything is going well until last Monday, where Tara Strong found out on Twitter, not anywhere else, on Twitter / X, or now some people are calling X-W-I-T-T-E-R. How would you pronounce that? Twitter?
What is it called? Wait, say it again?
It's X, but some people are nicknaming it X-W-I-T-T-E-R. So would you say
Twitter?
Would you say that that's Twitter? You know,
yeah,
the X
Twitter.
Being the Z,
yeah,
as in Xavier.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway,
I do it like that.
All right. So she finds out on Twitter that she has been canned, and it wasn't a case of it was a direct Twitter straight to her. No, it was a formal announcement for all to see that she's been canned because of a controversial thing that she did. Well, I decided to take a look at what the controversial thing was she did. Now, she is of Jewish descent. She's born in Canada, raised in Canada, became an American. And needless to say, being one of the Jewish faith is rather strong about what happened going on in Israel. Well, she saw this one tweet that said, Hamas equals ISIS equals Al-Qaeda equals Muslim. Now, she only saw the first half and then knee-jerked and liked. Then she read the other half, went, oh, shit, unliked. But it seems that there was someone who really does not have a whole lot of things to do but stay home and babysit Twitter accounts, screenshotted it in the few X amount of time it took to like and unlike this tweet, and it went viral. And the people who went to Tara Strong, asked to help form the company to make this cartoon, to get this pilot ready. It's already made. Her voice is on it. She, you know, quote unquote, from them, she's already got paid. And didn't even go.
I'm sorry.
Her. Huh?
Oh, no, no,
what?
No, no. I just found the Twitter post they made about firing her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it there?
You read it.
All right. Now, this is from them. As some of you may have heard, Tara Strong is no longer involved with Boxtown or Bandit Mill Animation and will no longer be voicing the character of Bill the Orphan. This decision was due to a trend among Tara's recent online activity. A trend, meaning it wasn't just the one post. Including
yeah, it's
posts
because, yeah, like I said, she's Jewish,
promote,
and she's strong pro-Israel.
Right, that promote controversial messages regarding the peoples of Palestine currently being affected by the ongoing Israel-Palestine crisis. So, hold on. I'm going to offer my 2 cents here. So when this terrorist group, Hamas, that is not pro-Palestine, entered Israel, captured women regardless of age, and I told you this before, and we've confirmed this, posted a video of them murdering 50 babies, including beheading said 50 babies in a video. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I don't know if she posts about this. Okay. This is not anti-Palestine. This is anti-humanitarian. Oh, my God. How dare she post about that? Oh, my God.
Well, like I said, she is Jewish. She is full pro-Israel. And
right.
That's what they meant by the controversial tweets.
Right. But this isn't anti-Palestine. This is anti-Hamas. They
mm-hmm.
even said they are a terrorist group, not Palestine. Not pro-Palestine. They're just a terrorist anti-Israel state. Okay, hold on. There's much more. We believe that our public platform gives us a duty to be careful when it comes to hateful messages and misinformation online. Really? Okay, this extends to our cast and crew. This was not a difficult decision. Wow, okay. More information about the casting of Boxtown will come within the coming weeks. Hold on, there's more. Our hearts are with the Palestinian and Israeli children and families being affected by the ongoing conflict. People should be able to live freely without being threatened by constant abuse and terror.
Well, sounds like they hired a PR person.
Yeah, it seems like you don't give a shit about Tara Strong, who helped you guys.
Well, as
holy
I was going
shit.
On, she helped. They came to her. She helped with the Kickstarter. God knows who, you know, of the voice actors and actresses she knows threw in, helped them form the business just because she's pro-Israel and accidentally clicked onto this one that's over the top on a knee-jerk reaction. Read half of it, read the other half, went, oh boy, took it out, went on to Twitter, owned up, and said, whoops, this was not meant to be. I read part of it. I did not read the rest of it. And before anyone says it, no, she is not she's not a Republican, she's not conservative, she's not a Trumper. If you look at the rest of her tweets, hell, her and E.G. Daily made a parody song based off Your Beautiful called Impeachable. If that gives you the idea, that's no, she is full, you know, left side.
Right.
Just pro-Israel, pro-Jewish.
Right.
And they didn't even bother to ask. Just candor on Twitter. She even had a response on her thing. It's like, wow, I just found out on Twitter. Please lose my email. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice that I raised all that money on that Kickstarter for you.
Yep.
Fired for being Jewish.
Yeah, and I have the article here. Tara Strong claims she was fired from Boxtown for being Jewish. From entertainment from the 18th, from Wednesday the 18th. I think you read that last week.
Mm-hmm.
So that one.
And I had to read all sides. You know, now it's all
right.
On the spin on the, you know, depending on the politics of the situation, you know, whether it's for Israel or for Palestine really ticks me off when I see people going pro-Hamas. I'm like, what? Do you read? Do you look at history? Okay, yes, me and Pogo are showing our age. We kind of remember way back in 1979, Jimmy Carter, Iran conflict, 66 hostages.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's the 40th anniversary. There was one of the things they were talking about all day. It was the 40th anniversary of something involving in that area.
Yeah, but who's the one who solved the conflict?
it was interesting. Right on it was right on the day Ronald Reagan was sworn in that they released. Now, I can't say, you know, there could have been talks before. I don't know. At that time being, I was kind of ready. She was getting about getting her fired as Miss Minutes of Loki. At this point, I would not be surprised if it's coming out of the Disney character. But I'm going like, really? You know, Disney, somewhat of a pass because of their latest trend. But like I said, these people came to her, asked for help. She helped start the business with the Kickstarter, able to make the pilot, voice the pilots. You know, I don't know how much she got paid. I'll admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you're going to go all this way to do this, you could at the very least, you know, go, okay, can you explain what's going on here? It's like, yeah, some people know I'm a little angry at Rain because he didn't show up to cover me in July, mm-hmm. but I'm still waiting to hear her side. Yeah, I'm a little forceful. My New York temper came to play. I'm not going to deny it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm still willing to hear her side of the story. They didn't even bother to do that. They canned her on Twitter. And I love the fact that they are now advertising to find a replacement. My thought, I just saw Morgan Freeman from the recent Batman series going like, let me get this straight. You just canned a well-known voice actress with connections to all the voice actors and actresses, and you think you're going to find a qualifying replacement at her caliber? Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Well, you know what they'll probably do. The popular trend, get Kelly Cuoco.
Yeah, but even then, I don't think so.
That was just a joke.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who'd want to. You know, I don't know anybody who'd want to. Like you just fired.
You know, it's like, forget the politics. You canned her on Twitter. You didn't even bother to call, send an email, go up to her, go,
What's
going on? You know, she deserved that, especially of all the ways she helped you.
I mean, they should have at least called and talked to her about what happened.
You know, but like
I don't get it.
Like I said, I'm angry at Rain. But guess what? I still want to hear her side.
Right,
I still
right.
do. Everyone knows this. You know, why? She deserves it. Same thing, you know, Tara Strong. She put all that effort, all her time. She probably donated money. And he's like, you know, I can't, once again, I can't say yes or no on that part. But, you know, for the pilot, my recommendation, Boxtown, sooner or later it's going to be a YouTube pilot or show somewhere.
Right.
Don't even view. Don't even view it.
Like I said, I never even heard of this thing until this negative thing popped up. So, there you go. Oh,
before this new generation of voice actors, when you think of voice actors of the past that got recognition,
right.
You think of Mel Blanc.
Hold on. Right, really quickly. Hold on.
Right.
I forgot the TV was on the background, the volume off. This Friday, Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie comes out. Well, if you have Peacock, you can stream it for free. So
okay.
I might check it out. If I have time, I'm going to try and check it out during the day. If you're there at Bunny Night, I'll give you a thumbs up, thumbs down. Mm-hmm. But Nicolas Cage had a movie. I can't remember the name of it. It just reminded me, I'd never played Five Nights at Friday. I know the premise, and I watched it. It came out a couple years ago. It was so under the radar, and people in our D&D group have seen it. And we said, and as soon as I said, they all yelled a name out, and they were like, yeah, it's so good. It was so under the radar. And if I could find it, I'll tell you, you got to see it. Sorry.
All right.
Continue with the
okay.
tirade.
Sorry. All right. Okay, continue with the tirade. Where was I saying?
Mel Blanc, you know, Mel Blanc, any of these other guys.
Okay, yeah. You talk about Mel Blanc. You talk about Janet Waldo. After that, you start getting fuzzier and fuzzier. I knew the name of the original Winnie the Pooh slash Gargamel. Well, not Winnie the Pooh. Tigger slash Gargamel. I can't think of his name right now. Oh. And then you get to the 70s.
Fred Welker.
You get Ted Knight. You get basically the only one that comes up to mind to everybody is Ted Knight. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice. And then you get to the 80s. There you get Peter Cullen. You get Fred.
Fred Welker.
Welker, thank you. And then, boom, between Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, and Disney, you get a whole new slew of voice actors and actresses, and they worth their weight in gold. Tara Strong is one of them. You want to go down the rest of the list? Okay, I can go with, Rob Paulsen, Tress MacNeille, Jess Harnell, Maurice LaMarche, E.G. Daly, Troy Baker, Gray Delisle, now known as Gray Griffin. She's got married. There's so many now, and you can just rattle them up. What you hear the name, you go, okay, yeah, I know who you're talking about. This one. Peter Cullen.
You said
Cree
that one.
Summer.
You said that one.
Oh, yeah. Cree Summer.
What decade are we into now?
Well, like I said, this is Nickelodeon slash Cartoon Network slash Disney.
Okay.
Jim Cummings. He's like, take your pick.
What's his name? Oh, the guy who does SpongeBob. What's his name?
Oh, I know you're talking. I see him. I see the face.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? I think he's voicing Rick and Morty now.
Yeah.
what the hell? Anyway, Willy's Wonderland is a movie I was thinking of.
Okay. But, you know, it's like, so you grab Tara Strong, one of the big powerhouse voices. Okay, yeah. Okay, almost forgot. God forbid I forget these two.
Which one?
Mark Hamill.
Which one? Oh, God damn it. Oh, my God. How do we forget that? And Robert Conroy.
Yes.
Oh, shit. You know what's funny, though? John DiMaggio. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Hold on. Mark Hamill, since the 90s, as far as I know, maybe before then, You know, hold on. This is a fact I heard, and this is fact they said. Since the 90s, every superhero cartoon that came out in the 90s, he voiced a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this, guys.
Every, just have some fun.
Yeah. It wasn't just Batman the Animated Series. Before Batman the Animated Series, but every, like, Marvel and it's not just Marvel and DC. Every cartoon animated series that came out for superheroes, he has voiced at least, I'm going to look this up, when he started doing this.
Well,
but every
he based most of the Joker off his play when he was doing the live-action 90s Flash.
Right, when he was
one episode,
the Jokester.
The Trickster.
Oh, he was on the Trickster, right. When he was the Trickster, yes. But I was shocked when he said that. I looked at when they said that. They did this bubble thing. I was like, what? And they said, go look it up, kids. And when the Internet Movie Database came out, I was like, holy crap. It was like, he was
some
like,
well-known stars turned into voice actors. Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Come on. Dr. Frankenfurter.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, you said before, Mark Hamill.
Yes.
If I ever get the chance to read Rob Paulsen here, since he's always talked about, you know, you got to do the Wacko's America, Yakko's America. And I want to throw a curveball at him, going like, it's like you're best known for Yakko and two Teenage Turtles. I got one question. Where are we going to get Steward of School Part 2? One movie he was in, Steward of School. Look for it. It is on YouTube.
You know what? He's going to say, I did it for the money so I could finish voice acting in school so I could do those parts. You know what he's going to say? I did that so I get my SAG card so I can become a voice actor. Because you know what? What's funny? Sam Raimi, his brother.
Oh,
the one with the glasses.
Right, I see him. I can't think of his first name.
You know what's funny? In not Army of Darkness, he was in the trilogy playing all these different parts. You know why? He says, if I do all these parts, does that count for acting, did various acting roles for my SAG card? They go, I think so. But they were so minor parts. So he would play all, like, in Army of Darkness, you know, he plays three different parts. And they counted, and he finally got his SAG card. And because of that, he was in, what was the submarine TV show?
Oh, God.
And he was on as a communications officer?
Mm-hmm.
He got that because he finally got a SAG card from Army of Darkness. All right, hold on. I'm trying to go through his filmography. Holy shit. You're not going to believe how many... Oh, my God. As an actor?
Mm-hmm.
362 acting roles.
Well, like I said, you know...
Oh, my God.
All
right. Wait, hold on. Ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Ready for this one? In the upcoming Futurama that's coming out soon, he has a voice acting part as Hanukkah Zombie in one episode.
The Hanukkah, yeah. Mark Hamill did that one.
Right. Hold on. I know he's in Metalocalypse as a recurring part because they have something called Army of the Doomstar coming out soon. Mm-hmm. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 voice acting parts in that one. Wait, is that already on Amazon? Because I know, now if you ever watch Metalocalypse when it was on Adult Swim back in the day,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's about Death Clock, the most metal band in the history of the world. They wanted to end it with like a metal opera. And it was going to be the culmination. They had this destiny set before them to save the world once and for all. And they wanted, and somehow, first Adult Swim said, okay, and then they canned it at the last second. Like, what? And this is years ago. And now apparently they made it, and it's going to be on. And apparently it's available on Amazon, $5.99 to rent.
There you go.
But he's got a bunch of things out.
Mm-hmm.
This, the Sandman, he was Murph Pumpkinhead. I didn't know that. That was him. Holy shit. Okay, he was in two. If you watch the Sandman season one, because season two's on its way. If you watch season one, Murph Pumpkinhead, that's Mark Hamill.
All right, but, you know, let's get back to, on the subject on this one here. Like I said.
Yeah, all right. I'm just saying, this is, you know, damn. Oh, wait, that's what I want. I want to see how far back this list goes. Because I know he was in Corvette Summer when we were kids, aging ourselves. But, oh, wait, no. Hold on.
Oh, in Justice League Action, he actually has some fun because it was an episode where it's mainly all his voice. And he also plays the trickster. And it's like
right.
a young man here taking on the world. You know, what's that movie? Oh, yeah, Corvette Summer.
I didn't see that. I missed that one. All right,
but
here is the Flash.
Once again, you can see it on YouTube.
Yep, I'm sure I could. All right, so here he is. Oh, wait, I'm trying to do the animated stuff. Wait. I'm looking up. Okay, so Batman came out, what, 91, 92? He's doing the Flash 90, 91. The Legend of Prince Valiant's 91 to 94. He did one episode. Wild West COW Boys of Moo Mesa. Oh my God. He did one episode there. Oh, he did Hans Christian Andersen and Zeus, two episodes of the Little Mermaid animated TV series. Holly Rockabye Baby. And then we get Batman Mask of the Phantasm. The movie, of course, he did the Joker. All right, and then, all right, okay, they're saying Batman TV series came out in 92 and 95. All right. Biker Mice from Mars in 93 and 96, he did Electromag, four episodes. 98 to 95, he did one episode, 94 of Mesmer. SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron. 93, 94, he did seven episodes as Johnny K, Burke, Miner Number One, the Red Lynx, and Farmer. Oh, I remember this one, Wing Commander. I remember this because one of my friends played the game. Wing Commander 3, Heart of the Tiger. He was Colonel Christopher in 94. Hey, he got a rating of 8.8 out of 10. That game. Video game Bouncers, he was Ugg, Chip, Dash, an old man. Okay, then he was in Sequest 2020. That's it. Sequest 2032. Hold on.
There we go.
I got to check the cast. I got to check the cast for one reason. Ted Raimi, that's the guy.
There it is.
See, it all comes around.
Hey,
okay.
Back to what we were talking about. Like I said, she put in a lot of effort. She put a lot of heart. You know, when she wants to do something, she does something. And didn't even give her the courtesy. The courtesy.
They could have talked it out with her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. All right, I'm on her page. She was a Canadian, a Jewish Canadian, born February 12th, 1973.
She's younger.
A couple of years younger. But hold on. She has 642 actress credits to herself. She's Miss Minutes in Loki. Teen Titans Go. Holy shit. In the 20 years, in 10 years she's been doing this, 382 episodes.
I mean, between Bubbles of the Powerpuff Girls, Teen Titans, and Teen Titans Go, she was riding high.
Good Lord, she doesn't need to do this box town. Screw that shit.
Yeah, like I said, they came to her.
Oh, wait a minute. She even plays the voice of the Mainframe in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. She's making Marvel. She's making MCU money. Fuck them.
You know, and just because, you know, she supports Israel, that's controversy? She's Jewish. She states she's Jewish. She wants, and she also wants, you know, the people, you know, who wants a free Palestine, the innocent people there, also wants them to be safe. So it's not a case of, you know, kill. No, no, no. She's not conservative. She's not Republican. She, don't even say Trump around her. Oh my God, there was a couple of there was a couple of Comic Cons. Oh, someone opened up their mouth. Oh my God.
What, she flipped out about? What, she flipped
not
out
flipped
about you?
Out.
What?
Let's put it this way. It kind of reminded me of a Family Guy episode where someone went up to ask the whole cast, why Fox? And Seth MacFarlane was the more gentle out of everyone else. Well, everyone was dropping F-bombs left and right. And Seth MacFarlane was going like, Rupert Murdoch, the politics side of him, we don't like. Rupert Murdoch, the businessman, we get along great. That's why he recognizes what works.
Wow.
No.
I'm just saying, she's been on like all the big primetime animated shows as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Some of her
she's
favorite
been on
Teen
some things.
Titans episode was Teen Titans Go, where she also plays herself. There's a few episodes where
you see the
animated version of
the cast.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And,
yep.
they have to fight each other. And they fight each other for a few minutes, and then, like, her and Raven get along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like your voice. I like yours, too. It's pretty funny like that, so.
Well, like I said, the woman earned the right to get at least a courtesy call. They didn't
that. But what I don't get is the Harley Quinn series, why isn't she doing that?
She did the video games versions.
Yeah, but why isn't she doing the TV series?
It could be a thing with Warner Brothers. Remember, you know, let's face it, you know, big corporation, they can be as finicky as they want. We can be scratching our heads until all the hair is ripped out and we'll never understand.
You know. Huh, now that's interesting.
What?
She voiced Barbara Gordon Batgirl in Batman the Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that. And I've seen that movie.
And she's also the voice of Timmy Turner, the Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, yeah. That I knew. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, the Fairly Odd Parents. My nephew grew up watching that. And I was like, I did not know that.
Hell, when I played the Twisted Toons original Star Wars, yeah, she said I was having a ball.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yes. That was great.
Darth Bubbles.
That's right.
So, I'm logic says to me her friends will be right there standing with her. I'm hoping, but like I said, this Box Town thing, I have absolutely no interest in seeing. If the pilot actually hits YouTube, I'm not even going to even give it the thumbs down. Gonna view.
I'm gonna pretend after this whole thing's over
to get monetized.
That's right.
Well, guess what? If you don't get enough views, you don't get it monetized. And that pilot sinks.
I hope Boxtown gets boxed, if you know what I mean. You disappeared. I just logged back. I just looked back in City of Heroes. I'm standing here by myself.
And once again, City of Heroes decided to putz out on me.
I have a question. You know how you put that green ring around a power so it keeps, you know, activating on its own?
No, it does. No. It's the actual game that decides to go kaput.
No. I'm asking you a question. I put it on hasten. So you don't know how to deactivate it.
No. Anyway. Okay, now I can try and get back on. So like I said, if you think that Boxtown acted wrong, like I do, and by the sound of it, so does Pogo. Like I said, don't even, if it pops up on YouTube, don't view. Because in order for them to get money, they got to get views of a certain amount.
But what's funny is, until this whole Tower of Strong incident, I don't think anybody heard of this thing. Unless you're a fan of Tower of Strong.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm just... But anyway, really quickly, let's pause.
I mean, if you want to take a look at at the very least, give it the dislike. Probably we'll have comments turned off because...
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I just want to do this. We have several people joining us in here tonight. I thank you for that. We have Natalia Kromstock. We have a blue flaming man moth of Millennium City who's flailing away. I think I know what happened. He got drawn to a flame. He's on fire, and he's trying to put it out.
Yeah, this is not Spectrum. And because if it was Spectrum, then I would be jumping out of the blog. So it's just Atlas being. There's a nickname in City of Heroes for people with. Not fully made gaming computers, just regular computers. It's called Atlas Lag.
Oh, no. We had something else. What was the other thing we had? Something server. Map serving. Yeah, map serving. Hold on. And we have Silver Regret trying to make sure the camera's on us. Thank you. And we have Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom. Wait, hold on. We have Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom, and what's the other thing?
It's Alan.
He's got
Clarence,
three things.
Mr. Nom Nom. Alan, Clarence,
Mr.
Nom Nom.
Alan, Clarence.
That's three.
Mr. Nom Nom hold on. There's four of them. Alan's there.
No,
Clarence
three.
Is standing next to him. Watch. Alan's there.
Yeah.
Clarence is standing next to him. Mr. Nom Nom is the
cat.
Voodoo looking. What? Yeah. Is the voodoo doll looking thing. Then there's a cube. Does a cube have a name?
That's
got
to talk to him on.
Well, that's. I'm hoping he's listening and he can hear me and answer me. I'll wait for an answer. Does a cube get a name or it just hangs out and we decide not to give it a name? And then it's us two. I'll wait for an answer. And then over here, I can't hold my torch that long because... Hasten is still on. I can't figure out how to shut it off. I'd ask Coalition, but I don't think anybody's there.
Softy's on.
All right.
Anyway, like I said, it's just messed up. It could be the event that's going on as well. Yeah, I got to agree with that one.
Yeah, it could be a business. But we're in a building.
Yeah, but... No, I mean on City of Heroes. We're outside.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but it doesn't look like there's a lot of people out here.
Remember, if it's down from... If they're doing down from below or, anything...
That's right.
Right, it's still all attached.
Hmm. But we were in a team, so that should have been okay.
Well, like I said,
wait, it says you're wrong.
There is
you're back.
Like I said, it's
there
the Atlas. It could be the Atlas flag that I keep talking about.
Yeah. No, what Atlas flag, when we used to have the AE building here, that was Atlas flag.
Like I said, if you don't have a strong computer system, then yeah. I remember, I'm on a Walmart computer. But, it's like, you know, I know you made this so we can avoid politics, but unfortunately, today's society, you can't avoid it. Believe me, I'm sure everyone does not want to always hear something that gets tied into politics. Unfortunately, today's society made sure you got no choice.
Everything these days is pop. You can't mention, you can't say anything without it being political or somebody making it political. Because somebody will just find some way for it to be political, and it's ridiculous.
I mean, and like I said, here's a person, kindness of her heart. Fans came to her, says, we got an idea for a cartoon. Can you help us? She goes, yes, sure. Helps raise the money to start their business.
Yeah.
Helps them to start make this, in other words, so they can hire animators, voice actors, because obviously there's more than one. Role, computer generate, computer people, everything needed to make this pilot. And okay, she got paid. All right, I guess that's with the SAG-AFTRA thing. I do remember seeing. Yeah, you can help, but. If you're going to do some acting, yeah, bring in some money, especially the fact that we're there on, you know, everyone's on strike. But you couldn't give her the time of day to find out on something that didn't even last long, and not only didn't even last long, she went back onto Twitter and said, oops, I effed up. Apologize wholeheartedly. They couldn't give her the time of day to find out the rest of the story? Or if they were going to just straight out canter, go to her and say, I'm sorry, this can't happen. Nope, Tara Strong gets fired on Twitter. Didn't even bother to make a phone call. So, Pokemon.
Yep.
You know what happens to people.
Hold it. Hold it. Hold it.
I'll make it long.
Do I
you
know
what happens to people who go to their fans, you know, their fan, with their fanboy, and the person helps them start everything from scratch on up, and then
yes, I do.
Royally screws her like this. Do you know what happens to them?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to let somebody tell you all what happens.
You just made the list.
It's been a while since we did that one, but
oh yeah, but this one's well earned.
Yes, yes, it is. Oh,
they have
I
a right
to
believe
in,
what they want.
Yes,
they can
in our
believe
chat room,
what they
Bloody,
want.
Bloody Wolf 161 has been in our chat room all night.
Yep.
But
no,
I forgot. I'm sorry. Hello, Bloody Wolf.
You know, like I said, real life, they can believe what they want.
Buddy Wolfie, I'm sorry.
That's one of the things about, that's great about America. You can believe what you want. Not a crime. I forget, I want to say Dave Chappelle, but I know I'm wrong. It says, you can be wrong as you want to be. You have the right to be wrong.
That's right.
But then there's just plain old-fashioned, wow, that is the delivery, a long delay. Clarence and Mr. Numnum, he just answered. But then,
oh, okay.
There's just a common thing. And, you know, that's basic business. You're now a business. This ain't two buddies in the, you know, sitting at the kitchen table. No. So like I said, fuck, the cube is called Orange Zero. Okay. That answer.
Wait, the cube is called Orange Zero?
Yeah.
Well, shuck my corn. I had no idea. It has infinite storage. So he's a Teddyson also?
I guess. Anyway.
Okay.
Like I said, I knew it was going to take the full hour. I mean, if anyone has another view, we also would like to hear it. Like I said, you know, it's a case of you have a right to whatever you want to believe. That's the one thing about America. We don't have to agree.
That's right.
And me and Pogo, we're willing to listen.
So, from now...
Yeah, as long as you don't try to royally screw us in real life, you know,
that's
then
right.
We're going like, okay, that's your opinion. This is my opinion. You listen. Okay, you go, okay, but here's my opinion, and then I listen.
That's right. Hold on a minute. So from now on, it's Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom, and Orange Zero.
Right.
Holy, I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to remember that. We'll have to work on that one. Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. I want to show you guys something, what I just got today. There. I got this Loyal Psychic Evil Eye thing. And I thought it's going to last 15 minutes like the others. It says it lasts 30 seconds. I'm like, you have to do the trickery mission 10 times. I hope it'll last 15 minutes.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. We'll leave because I was fighting the Doom Lords, Zeth Lords, whatever they are. Because I got to do it one more time to get the Pumpkin Lich Collar. And I can do it after. All right. It's almost time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost looks like the Eye of Mordor, kind of. You should be on top of the Brooklyn Tower, by the way. No. I just thought I'd throw it in there for, you know.
Well, I was thinking paint it green and you get the Emerald Eye, lead to the superheroes.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go.
Oh yeah, it's like I said, it came on Monday, so I was ready to spring this on you fresh, and I get that
right.
Message. That
I know. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, we just had a bunch of stuff going on here, so.
Mm-hmm. And
Silver Girl was thinking the same thing.
Man, I see your little guys are coming out. Oh my God. In the city of Poundsville. Dun, dun, da, 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 da. They're dressed as the power of, as bubbles.
Oh, jeez.
They're ready to go hardcore.
Okay. It says on the bottom. This one I don't get. Evil Eye Toggle, 30 seconds. 1 second activation time, 900 max. Huh? Target self. Cooldown, 300 seconds. All right, so that's a standard.
Anyway.
Cooldown. So 900, I don't know. That's 15. So that's like 15 minutes, so it has a standard thing.
Yeah.
So damage type is magic. Ability effects, knock, clinging. Oh, sorry, knock, clinging, faint. God damn it, I can't talk tonight. Knock, clinging, flames, hexed. Okay, wait. Too bad we're not playing the game yet. You may only have one psychic active at one time. Okay. This item is cannot be summoned in pay-per-view. Oh, we could start the drinking game already. This item is... Oh, well, this is right. This item is unaffected by cooldown reduction. All right, so they got one out of three wrong. Okay.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, it's time for
here
the
they come
from the tomb.
That's
from
right.
The city of Townsville.
Here. That's right. And one of the, and if you noticed this past week, there are two new trick-or-treaters out. One looks like a plague monster type, a plague doctor monster, not as cool as mine. It actually it combines the plague doctor, and it combines all the pumpkin lich pieces. So, but the other one is a moth monster, and in the distance, I was like, Bob, isn't it the costume you just want the last? It does. Have you done the trickery things yet? Have you done them this week? And that's what I was joking about when I was like, Bob, when did you become a trick or treat monster this week?
You heard that some people get rocks in their trick-or-treat bag. Come on.
Now, that's true. He's just, yeah, but it doesn't work. He gives them. That's the thing. He gives them. That's probably why they made him do it. He's got too many. Oh, good Lord. Okay, let's start. All right, so basically, these are heroic helpers and malicious minions from comic book history. Let's just say this, if you have a psychic and any of these remind you of your psychic, you need a definite upgrade, because these are members of the League of Regrettable Sidekicks. Our first stop is, of course, the Golden Age. And this one was created by John Douglas. Debuted in Planet Comics number 59 of Fiction House of March 1949. Partnered with Futura. Is there a Mrs. Blargo? We hope not. His quote, "If I must die, then let me die with her. For of living creatures, Futura is the most beautiful and brave of all." Okay. As far as first impressions go, oh, I'm sorry. The name of the psychic, Blargo the Lawless. As far as first impressions go, Blargo the Lawless cannot possibly have started off on a worse foot, because if there's one thing you shouldn't do as a psychic, it's force yourself upon your eventual partner. Heavy set, middle-aged, and sporting a face like the underside of a pan full of scrambled eggs, Blargo was not winning any beauty contests. Jeez. What he did have going for him was a ferocious fighting style, practically inhuman strength, and a loyal crew of undersea scavengers called the Fishermen. Based on the small, water-covered planet of Oceania, they earned their fortune by illegally selling looted subaquatic contraband. Into the scenario dropped a lovely Futura, a former Earthbound secretary named Marcia Reynolds, turned into an intergalactic heroine of the far-flung future. having been abducted by the Brain Lord of Cymradia, an alien race, the otherwise ordinary woman is declared a prize of prizes throughout the universe for her laudable hidden qualities. This immediately makes her a target for a small army of galaxy-conquering menaces, weird monster people, and intergalactic space pirates. Which brings us back to Blargo, when Futura overpowers her captives, on the way to Oceania, the ship crashes into the sea. Dodging terrible monsters and savage lizard men, she's rescued by Blargo's welcoming crew. Unfortunately, Blargo himself proves a little too welcoming, looming over her as she's taken to the fisherman's home base. "My name is Blargo," he announces, adding hungrily as he leans in for a kiss. "And I need a queen to help me rule my outlaw band." Futura answers his offer by flipping him helplessly to the floor, liberally beating the daylights out of his sizable crew of hardened pirates and escaping in one of Blargo's ships. But this seems only to encourage Blargo's ardor, impressed as he is by Futura's indomitable spirit. Pursuing her in a second vehicle, the scavenger captain encounters a terrible sea creature that wrecks his ship. Futura's strength and courage saves him from certain death, and she carries him on her back to safety. From that moment, the bond between the two is sealed, and Blargo's inappropriate affection turns to worshipful adoration. For the remainder of the series, Blargo provides a strong right hand and left hand and both feet, and he probably bites too. Against Futura's multitude of weird cosmic enemies, resembling a science fiction version of The Perils of Pauline, Futura's adventures pit the pair against other pirates, birdmen, assorted monsters, their own artificial duplicates, and severed telepathic heads resting on ornate vases. Space sounds amazing. Blargo is of a particularly peculiar school of sidekickery. As an unwelcome addition to Futura's adventures, and, in fact, an early enemy, he nonetheless is changed for the better by his associations with the heroine, whom he openly adores. Despite their unconscionable beginnings, the pair develop a platonic affection, which seems a suitable reward for Blargo's transition from sexist scoundrel to valuable sidekick. The pair ends their time together in a happy embrace, having defeated one last wave of alien no-goodniks.
Okay. Well, I do like the little bit of alliteration they put into that one.
Yes. Yes, they did. Oh, Alan's telling me. Adam used him against Vigil this afternoon, and he lasted, was still active 30 seconds. After Vigil was beat, Adam dismissed the eye.
Oh, boy. Okay. We got a dev CC. Oh, boy.
Boy, oh, they just announced it?
Yep. I'm going to check on it right now while you...
Hold on, let me see what's up. Oh, hold on. I just hit the button. Hold on.
Cryptozoological.
I'm opening it too. Hold on. I'm in reading mode. I got it as soon as the screen opens. Yeah, okay, here we go. It's opening. Give me 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. Come on. Cryptid costume contest. They stalk the night. They roam the mountainsides. They soak goat blood, apparently. Cryptids are creatures that don't exist in this world, but have been brought up over and over as part of legends, both local and international. Oh, the Jersey Devil, the Yeti, the Loch Ness Monster, Mothman. Haven't seen any around here. You can't get them. These are all examples of the weird and wonderful world of cryptids, and we want you to make your own mark. Show us your best creation of an existing cryptid or one of your own design. try to make it wild enough to be legendary, but realistic enough to be believable, in quotations. After all, Bigfoot hunting is a big business these days. We'll be doing a live stream costume contest on October... This Friday?
Yep.
Not next Friday? This Friday.
This Friday.
Oh, wait, this Friday before Christmas.
Oh,
that makes sense. All right, October 27th. Why didn't you announce it last week, you morons? Judged by some of the developers that work on Champions Online, head to the Powerhouse Theater to participate. Judging begins at 3:30 Pacific time, or 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And the contest begins at 4 or 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it live on Champions Online Facebook page or on our Twitch channel. There will be 3 winners and 10 runner-up. Here's how the prizes break down. The contest special... All right, our top 3 winners will win a contest special item voucher, a contest heroic item voucher, a contest honorable item voucher, and two dev tokens, a unique title, mythological, and 10 honorable mentions will win 2 contest honorable item vouchers and 2 dev tokens. And everyone who participates will receive the title, cryptozoologist. All right, here's a claim. All right, the heroic voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the honorable voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. We'll see you at the Powerhouse Theater, champions. So it's this Friday. All right, I want to, before we continue, I want to show, I want to show you all something, if I may. May I?
Okay.
All right, I'm not going to remove the oars because I'm going to change back into this costume. The way I have this costume set up, I have to grow. Would this fit as a cryptid?
Could be.
From the people in the jury. I'm going to go large, so I'll be a large creature.
All right. Anyway, we got 17 minutes.
We got time. No one's answering.
There may be a delay, so like I said.
I know. I'm waiting. How about that? Yes, no? People listening?
Like I said, give him time to catch up. Let's continue
right
on because...
Yes, I know. We got 17 minutes. I got 2 to read. All right, let's get on to the second. Where are you? Okay. This one, with our next psychic entry, is from the Silver Age, created by Al Hartley and Dan Heck, debuted in Tales of Suspense number 68, Marvel Comics, July 1966. They are henchmen to the moon. Favorite color? Green. Distinguishing characteristics: strong odor, melt smoothly. The quote: dispatch a message back to the moon. They are none other than Edom and Gouda. Oh,
Edom.
No. Edom, thank you. Edam and Gouda. I never had Edam. All right. The myth of the moon being made of green cheese is, generally speaking, not taken seriously. Even young children recognize the fanciful description as fantasy. However, in the high-tech, science-powered world of Iron Man, it turns out that it's all true, after a fashion. In luxurious Monte Carlo, Tony Stark's spendthrift cousin, Morgan, makes a deal with the predictably insidious Count Nefaria. In exchange for forgiveness of a massive gambling debt, Morgan must undermine his wealthier relative's sanity, softening up the iron-suited industrialist for Nefarious' secret scheme. He does this in part by tormenting Stark with Nefaria's Visio projector, which causes a fake rocket ship to appear in his line of sight and then vanish so that no one can confirm Stark's UFO sighting. The plan works fairly well until a cosmic coincidence occurs. A two-alien expedition force under command of an unseen alien overlord lands in the very spot where Stark had originally seen the vanishing rocket ship. Emerging from the saucer-shaped craft, the striking duo is heavily armed and clad in bubble helmets. Or are they wearing glass domes of the type you see placed on cheese boards? It's a worthwhile question. The shaggy green lunar landing party does whole hog, or is that whole cow, with cheese references. As more green aliens pour from the spacecraft, we learn that the two creatures leading the assault are named Edam and Gouda. The writer of this tale, Al Hartley, boasts a lengthy career writing and drawing for teen-oriented humor comics, including Archie Comics. The cheese-themed moon aliens would not have seemed particularly out of place there. The teens of Riverdale often encountered science fiction or supernatural menaces, which tended to be played for laughs. Iron Man defeats the aliens. Match, but the memory of lactose-tolerant lunatic from a green cheese moon apparently tickled over Marvel Comics writers. Around two decades after their debut, the home world was changed to a less problematic location. By then, Earth's moon was already overpopulated with minor alien races. According to the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, Edam and Gouda and their many friends hail from the planet Froma, recalling the French word for cheese, fromage. Later writers expanded the roster of Froma's family tree, adding representatives Colby and Haviardi. It's safe to imagine that further visits from Froman citizens will introduce to his brie, cheddar, mozzarella, and good old Monterey Jack.
I'm like the fromage.
That's right. Was that a Dexter's Lab reference?
Yep.
I remember that one.
That's all he can say.
Because the record kept skipping, it got stuck. He failed every test that day except his French one.
Okay. Last one.
All right, no one's answering me.
Anyway.
No, I don't care. No one's answering me. Yeah, they don't get another.
Come on.
It took a while for Alan
to come up with his answer. Come on.
I'm just changing back. Hold on a minute now. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. I think I'll do that for the costume. I just want to find some kind of like ooze aura to put on. It's just missing something, that's all. Hold on a second. Okay, that one. Ah, here we go. Oh, good Lord. We have a neat one for the modern age.
All right.
Oh. All right, so last week we did, the last time we were here, we did D-Man. Now this is kind of, this is going to be an interesting one. We have time? Okay. So this week we have the many, many sidekicks of Captain America. Despite the loss of his good friend and confidant, Bucky, in the final days of World War II, Captain America continues to populate his professional career with sidekicks, partners, and superhero trainees. Perhaps his strong sense of duty compels him to prepare the next generation of heroes. Or perhaps being a captain is no fun if you don't have someone to boss around. For many years, Captain America shared an equal partnership with Sam Wilson, also known as the High-Flying Falcon. This was evidenced in the masthead when the Falcon shared billing with the veteran superhero. In recent years, Wilson even took on the Captain America persona, albeit temporarily, and he's also made the leap into the Marvel films alongside his fellow Avengers. Prior to that, Cap reluctantly taught perennial sidekick Rick Jones to adopt the role of a shiny new Bucky for a new generation. Like most of Jones' associations, this was a relatively short one. The gritty nomad, a.k.a. Jack Monroe, had the opportunity to sidekick for not one, but two Captains America, they say here. Besides partnering as Nomad with the classic Steve Rogers Captain, Monroe began his career as a sidekick to the commie-bashing Captain America of the 1950s. This was a replacement Cap fighting evil while the original was frozen in an ice floe. After undergoing suspended animation, Monroe emerged in modern times to partner up with today's Cap, the original, now unfrozen. Confused? Consider that the first Nomad was Captain America himself. He created that persona when he temporarily abandoned his flag-clad identity. Many more have been taken under Cap's shield-bearing wing. Patriotic tryhards like Jack Flag, Free Spirit, and Vagabond have tested their mettle as Cap's number two. In another replacement, Captain America enjoyed adventures in the late 40s in the company of a romantically inclined superheroine named Golden Girl. It's also worth mentioning that the Star-Spangled Hero led a version of the Avengers informally known as Cap's Kooky Quartet, in which he taught former baddies Hawkeye, the Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver to be heroes. And, as many know, in the modern era, Bucky has returned as the Winter Soldier, a popular and high-profile fixture of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. With so many amateur Avengers and would-be heroes in training coming to Captain America to improve their skills, it's fair to say that Captain America could hardly be better sidekicked. So it's fair to say Cap has been kicked in the side a lot, according to this article. And that, my friends, are this week's entries in the League of Regrettable Sidekicks. Although that last one I thought was a pretty good collection of sidekicks, so I don't know what they're doing in there.
Well, you bring up D-Man, like, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, D-Man's one thing, but you don't bring up the other, you know. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Rick Jones.
Hey!
Come on, Rick Jones, Hulk, Captain Marvel, Captain America.
I mean, Rick Jones is like the cool sidekick of the Marvel. He's like the sidekick of the Marvel Universe, so what the hell? We lost somebody. What happened to Man Moth?
I don't know.
Huh.
Oh, he went to a base.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So we got about 5 minutes left.
Yep. All right.
So what did we learn tonight?
Well, one more thing to mention. It's a different subject here. If you are tired of what's been going on between Disney, Marvel, and all that, boy, do I got something for you, and it's happening this Friday. South Park joining the Panderverse. They are gender swapping style. Kyle, Stan, Cartman, Butters, and Kenny.
Go on. I didn't hear about this.
Parker and Stone, known for picking on everybody no matter what, is going after the race-swapping, gender-swapping that Hollywood's been going after, and Hollywood is going berserk.
Really? I didn't hear about that. How did...
Oh, yeah, it's this Friday.
What time is it on?
Hold on here. South. Gotta find out. South Park. Joining the Pandaverse.
The Pandaverse. You know, it's funny. I just did a Google thing. It came up right away.
Yep.
Oh, my God. There's a picture of it, too, when I pulled it up on Wikipedia. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Hold on. It's the 326th episode of the show. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. We'll air October 28th. I thought it was the 27th, but
it says here the 27th. Well, the 27th is Friday.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a two-parter.
Maybe that's why.
Okay, I got another one that says October 27th. I'm trying to find a time.
Hold on a minute. Just a
Network
moment.
Paramount Plus and Paramount Global.
Okay, so it's not going to be on Comedy Central?
No. So either the 27th or 28th, if you don't have Paramount Plus or Paramount Global, we're talking YouTube, and be very, very quick, because once it's up, they'll take it down.
Well, guess what? I do have Paramount Plus, and I'm checking right now to see when it's gone.
There you go.
So, no. Hold on. Give me a second. I'll tell you the official time it's on. So... Well, you think it would have popped up right away since on this week.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. We got 90 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you, just be me and Mad Viking talking about stuff we talk about all the time. What is it called? South for Pandaverse?
Friday the 27th in the U.S., Canada, and Saturday, October 28th in the U.K. and Australia. Okay, that answers that one.
All right. Because guess what? I can't find anything about it. And it's on Paramount Plus, you said?
Yeah.
All right, I can't find anything about it. Anyway, let's get back to this. Have a good week, everybody. Watch those shows, movies. Read those comic books, read those genre books we like to read, all of a sudden watch, and I said all that much. And thank you, Mad Viking. And anything you'd like to say in closing?
We were hardcore. Say goodnight, Gracie.
We were hardcore. Goodnight, Gracie. And don't forget to be there for Wednesday night for Bunny Movie Night. And if you can't make it then, be there Friday for the DevCC. We're going to have a lot of fun. Either way, love, and tune into dawnradio.org. Okay, I think I said that right. And have fun with the event. A lot of stuff happened, a lot of cool stuff out there. You know, I've got, like, except for the pumpkin wood stuff, I've got, like, everything, weapon skins and costume parts. That's how long we've been doing this.
All right.
Good night, everybody. You guys rock. We love you all. And have fun over on City of Heroes with the trick-or-treat event. I'm going to try and get that in, too. But have fun with the events. Happy Halloween, because next time we're on, it'll be the night before. It'll be Halloween Eve. Ooh, we got to do something for that.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, everybody. You guys rock. Anybody, anything coming up next? Really quick?
Nope.
Okay. Everybody enjoy the rest of your night. Go on. Go play. Have fun. We're done. Why are you still here? Oh, leave. Hold on. I can't get back into the studio. Where's the studio? I lost it. There we are. All right. We're done. Good night,
okay.
Everybody.
Night.
Good night. I'm logging. Hold on. I'm saying good night to everybody. 3, 2, 1. Have a good night. Thank you for co-hosting. Go enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.